SBS Filipino. Kasama natin ngayong araw, all the way from Los Angeles, California, ang aktor na kasama sa bago at ipapalabas pa lamang na pelikula na The Leisure Seeker na si Mark Fajardo. Good morning, Mark! Or good afternoon, I should say.
Good morning! Good afternoon from Los Angeles!
Woohoo! Yes, before we talk about the film The Leisure Seeker, let our listeners get to know you. Simulan natin, Mark. Though you were born and raised in Los Angeles, both your parents are from the Philippines, right?
Yes.
But how did Mark Fajardo's acting career really start? Who influenced you?
So I studied at UC Santa Cruz, and I double majored in film and community studies. Initially, I wanted to get into social documentary work. But then one of my professors said that, you know, when you do a documentary, it's like throwing a suitcase full of money off a cliff, and you really don't make any. You can't make a living. It's really about the cause, you know. So that got into my head, and I was like, you know what, maybe I should just change it up. And I started falling in love with the art of filmmaking. So I wanted to, you know, coming back home to LA, I wanted to pursue directing and or editing. I had no idea I was going to get into acting when I was in college. Yeah, I was very intimidated by Hollywood, and I honestly was thinking of just like working at a post-production house and edit trailers or something, or just edit something, you know. But as soon as I got back to Los Angeles, I applied and interviewed, and I got some meetings with some post-production homes, and it didn't pan out. But then my friend that I had reconnected from my college at UC Santa Cruz, he was suggesting that I should do some background acting so I would get to know how a professional set is like and get to know the vibes and the terminology. So then that's what I did. I signed up at Central Casting Agency, which is the big background acting agency here in LA. And then 7 months later, I got called in to be one of the featured extras in Iron Man Part 1. So being on set there for about 3 weeks, that got me into the union and that got my curiosity going with acting. And I started just going with this type of pull, I guess, with this acting. My curiosity just got me to where I'm at, really. And I just started taking classes and meeting folks in acting class and making really good, solid friends with them, and just created a community. And just, I didn't stop there. So I guess that's how I ended up to where I'm at right now.
That's in acting, but I read in one of the background about you. You belong to a typical family who loves to sing, isn't it? And dance and perform.
Oh, yeah. My family, a lot of our Christmas parties, when I was a kid, my aunt, she had a big home back then, and we would have these really huge Filipino parties. And as a kid, they would want you to entertain them, and they would pay you a dollar to entertain them. So they would tell me to, I don't know, just to sing and dance, you know, and I would do that just because I loved making them laugh. I guess they were my first
audience?
Teachers or my first audience members, my first cheerleaders, you know, and that has stayed in me for, you know, ever since I was a kid, because, you know, thinking back, I remember just that I would always try to be the center of attention in one way or another. And I would act a fool, and I would be the class clown and whatnot, you know. And yeah, I always just like to perform and entertain, and I like to make a fool out of myself, you know, just to get a laugh. And I guess my family was a big influence.
As you mentioned, you studied film, and you had your first feature short film written, directed, and all of it done by you, entitled Shell.
Yeah, it's like 20 minutes long.
Yeah, short film.
Short film. And it was, it took me a very long time to do, and I was kind of wearing multiple hats with that, and I learned quickly that it's better to have a team. But it is all good. I learned a lot. I definitely learned a lot, you know. And you know what, in doing that project, I wanted to be in front of the camera after doing that project, just because, like, I wanted to see myself in that type of world. And I think that was another step in being motivated to become an actor.
Yeah. And it definitely did, because you were part of the few movies, Eminent Domain, 1 Week Notice in 2010, The Manor Monkey in 2010, How Do You Spell Love also in 2010, and the most recent is in 2011, which is You, Me, and the Circus.
Yeah. Those are all like short films and independent films. Some of them were like either graduate student films. But the Yumi and the Circus, that was really cool. I was mainly a dancer, like a hip-hop dancer.
Mm.
But I think that was my first like independent film. I think it did hit the festival circuit, but it didn't get a lot of theatrical release. God knows why. I have no idea. But that was an amazing time because I did what I love, which was hip hop dancing. I did a lot of hip hop dancing in high school and in college. So that was early on in my acting career. You know, I was still refining and polish my movements.
Yeah.
And I was able to do really cool tricks. I don't know if I can do it now.
Films, and then you also did. You were also part of the 2012 Desperate Housewives television series?
Yes. Yeah, that was my first speaking role. And that was amazing. I had one line.
Yep.
And I was acting opposite Vanessa Williams and Eva Longoria. And it was my first time on a network show. And it was a big deal because it was a series finale. So
yeah.
I wasn't able to sleep the night before because I was just so nervous and anxious. I even took like a hip-hop dance class to help me calm my nerves afterwards, but that didn't help.
Mm.
And but it was a really cool experience. Like, I learned how to hit my mark. Hitting your mark is basically, for those that are not within the film industry, you start in one spot and then you walk towards a very small, tiny, what is called mark, that's usually made of gaffer's tape, of colorful gaffer's tape, and then you say your line.
Mm.
You know, I didn't do that. I didn't do that in my first couple of takes. And Eva Longoria was, I guess she was pissed at me, or she was irritated
at me. She
was crossed. She gave me the side eye. Yeah. It was really funny. But I enjoyed everything despite, like, what happened, you know?
At least you got their attention.
Yeah. I did, yeah. Yeah. It was a big deal for me, but I think it was nothing to them. Just because they probably see a lot of day player actors every day, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a cool experience.
Now let's talk about the latest film that you are a part of, The Leisure Seeker. It's a story that tells about a runaway couple, John and Ella Spencer, played by Donald Sutherland and award-winning Helen Mirren, respectively, who go on an unforgettable journey in the fateful old RV or recreational vehicle they call The Leisure Seeker. You're in the movie as Terry. Briefly tell us about your role.
Yeah, so I play Terry, a campsite employee, and the function of my character is I help Helen Mirren's character, Ella, find Donald Sutherland. We're trying to find her husband because he ran off due to his Alzheimer's. And she, in the script, she opens up about her life, and I confide in her, and we find similarities with each other. It's a really sweet moment. You know, it was so enjoyable to read the script and to do the scene with her. But that's basically it. We ride in my little golf cart along the beach, and we're just trying to look for her. But at the same time, we have these conversations and find out similarities about each other. And then she finds him.
At least our listeners will be watching for that part of the movie. They will look for you.
I hope so.
Yeah. Do you consider this as a big or your biggest role in a film?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. It is because, I mean, it's not a studio film, but it's an independent film. It's a high-budget independent film, I guess. I don't know if a lot of big studio heads will label it, but it was just because he got some Academy Award-winning actors and actresses in it, you know, and it's such a good story. And a lot of the roles that I have booked, a lot of them were like no-name characters.
Yeah.
Like usually like waiter number one or something. But like this character that I played in The Leisure Seeker, there's a specific function for him that has a pivotal moment in the story. And Helen Mirren's character and I, we have a shared moment.
Yeah.
That will just like heighten the story. So I'm so elated and proud to do this film because also the director, it's his first time making an English-speaking film. He's like one of the top dogs in Italy. He goes by the name of Paolo Virzi.
And Leisure Seeker is going to be in the big screen in Australia starting the 8th of March.
That's cool. Awesome. I hope everyone loves it. I hope everyone likes it, because when I was reading the script in the library, and I was tearing up and crying, and there's a lot of patrons passing by, so I was trying to hide myself. I don't usually cry reading a script, but because you could feel the heartbeat of the story so easily that you can easily connect to it and relate to it. So living and dying, the whole concept of living and dying, and what Helen Mirren says about pursuing dignity through that, through the obstacles of that, is resonant and a universal theme for everyone, you know?
Yeah. Trailing back your career, I know that you haven't done really big roles, big roles, but is there any challenge in one point of your career that you thought you want to stop acting or performing, particularly in the U.S., because color, or let's say being Asian, we can still say that it's an issue.
Oh, yeah, it is definitely an issue. But there is a push now for diversity in casting. And it's so interesting, just this past year, like early 2017, I believe, I would hear in some communities, some of my actor communities, I would hear some folks say, you know, it's hard for a white actor right now because they want more diversity for like an ensemble cast, which is ironic because you don't really hear that. It's hard for a white actor in Hollywood. It's a bizarre, unbelievable thing to hear, you know, because the history of Hollywood, it's dominantly white actors. And in the beginning of my career, I was very, very highly aware of it, you know, and I was hoping that I wasn't going to play a lot of these stereotypes. But I later on learned that you have to start somewhere. And it's really up to you, like what kind of roles you take on, but you have to start somewhere to level up and to show these casting directors, producers, directors that you are capable of handling material, of being on set, of being on time, of being professional, so on and so forth, you know. But there is definitely a push for diversity, and a lot of the roles that I would like to take, like lead roles or recurring roles, I think it's a matter of business, and I'm speaking generally.
Yeah.
Where it really depends on your reps. It really depends on your agents and your managers, if they know how to pitch you, or if they know how to, if they could really sell you on that. And also the timing of things, also the timing of the roles that are written specifically for you. So I think it's just a matter of time. These past like 8 years that I've been doing this trajectory of being an actor, my roles have leveled up to like just, I guess I don't want to say away from stereotypes, but definitely unique characters. And they have grown, and my body of work has a different range, which is really cool.
Yeah.
Because I was afraid I was going to be pigeonholed as like a waiter or a ballet guy, you know, but that's not the case now. And I'm trying to keep it up, and I'm trying to widen my range and my creativity and my comedic sensibilities. You know, I'm just trying to grow as an actor.
And hoping to see you more in bigger movies or big Hollywood films, hopefully.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. I actually did, I guess a day player role, or I don't want to say a small role, but I had a role in this studio film that's called The Hate U Give a couple months ago. We shot it in October. But it's really good. It's a really good, it's based off of a book, just like The Leisure Seeker, which is pretty ironic. Like I'm doing movies that were based off of a book. But the next movie, it's a studio film, and it's got like big names on it, like Anthony Mackie, who plays the Falcon in Marvel's Avenger, and Issa Rae, who does Insecure, and it stars Amandla Stenberg.
Yeah.
I think that's her name, Amandla Stenberg, yeah. So I play a cameraman during a protest that gets chaotic. Hopefully that reaches a larger amount of audience members and fans of the story in the book. So,
A piece of advice for Filipino actors, or for actors in general hoping to step into the world of Hollywood or even into international big screen?
A piece of advice? I would say really diversify your education in the craft of acting, and always have a solid community of friends that would be accountable for you to keep up with your craft in acting. And definitely, you have to have a solid time management of your schedule. I think to have longevity in an acting career is to have a rhythm of things to do on a weekly basis, on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, that would help you grow as a human being, as an artist, and as a business person. So diversifying your education in the craft of acting, and also learn about the business.
Mm.
Learn about the people that are casting these projects. Learn about the aesthetic of the director. If it's a movie, learn the aesthetic of the director, what kind of themes that director does. Learn about the writing style and the rhythm of the writers for TV and or film. And just dive into there, you know?
Yeah.
I guess that's...
Maybe last question. I know you're in Hollywood, but do you think you'll ever do a Filipino film in the Philippines?
I would love to. Yeah, I would love to. If it's a good script and just a good story and it's in an amazing character, I would love to do it. That was my dream, actually. That was like one of that was like in my bucket list. But yeah, no one has emailed me. I'm still waiting for an email.
Maybe you should give away your email.
Yeah, you just gotta Google it.
Mark, if our Kababayans see you in Los Angeles, do they recognize you?
I don't know. Like here in LA, what's so fascinating right now is there's a lot of community of artists. Like there's this one called Philam Creative, Filipino American Creative.
Okay.
Or We Own the Eighth. There's basically a lot of Asian Americans that come together and create work, create content, web series, music videos, short films. They're all like beautiful folks and talented artists. And yeah, and those are the kind of folks that I run into just because there's a good amount of them around here. And I guess I sort of surround myself with them, you know, like either we rehearse with improv or we do web series or short films. So yeah, I guess it would recognize me just because we know people that know other people that know us. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think you're coming to Australia soon?
I would love to. I would definitely love to visit Australia and just meet really cool folks and just get connected with the Filipino community over there because we need to bridge the gaps and we need to get connected and create. And, you know, it's always cool to meet folks from the other side of the world.
We hope to see you here soon.
Yes, I'm going to get a lot of money. I'm going to fly my butt over there.
For those who want to follow you, where they can follow you? On social media?
Yeah, yeah. You follow me on Twitter and Instagram at the Mark Fajardo. T-H-E-M-A-R-C-F as in Frank, A-J-A-R-D-O.
The Mark Fajardo.
Yeah, it sounds so vain, but Mark Fajardo was already taken, so I was like, okay, let's just do the Mark Fajardo. Makes it easier.
Thank you very much for your time, Mark Fajardo, all the way from Los Angeles.
Anna, thank you so much. I enjoy this. Thank you, thank you, thank you infinitely.
Thank you, and all the best.
All right, take care.
sbs.com.au/Filipino